to World War III.
That's Mark Mayfield reporting. America's small business operators are still bullish, though not as much as they were a month ago. This morning's report on the Small Business Optimism Index for September shows it's down slightly. This is USA Radio News.
From Struck Films.
Where did you come from?
The true story of a stray dog.
Who are you?
That's Pluto.
Who saves a struggling family in more ways than one.
What's wrong?
This isn't working anymore.
Sometimes help comes from the most unlikely places.
I don't need you.
He's trying. He really is.
Sometimes one dog can change everything.
You're awfully small, aren't you, boy?
From the director of The Other Side of Heaven, The Stray. Rated PG. For theater locations and more information, visit thestray.movie. In theaters now.
Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal says a humanitarian crisis is brewing in Puerto Rico. The Connecticut lawmaker visiting the island over the weekend, he says he took a helicopter trip to see areas where Hurricane Maria hit hardest, and he says 90% of Puerto Rico is still without power. The head of the EPA says he'll sign the documents to get rid of Obama administration regulations when it comes to power plant emissions. More on that from USA correspondent Jason Wirt.
The head of the EPA has announced that he is going to be tossing out Obama-era regulations on power plants. EPA Chief Scott Pruitt was in Kentucky, saying he will start unwinding the prior administration's so-called Clean Power Plan. The rules aim to restrict greenhouse gas emissions from power plants. Pruitt said it was not an economically viable plan. I'm Jason Wirt.
Veteran U.S. Senator Democrat Dianne Feinstein ending growing speculation about her future, as the California lawmaker has tweeted she will run for re-election next year. Feinstein, at 84, said she is all in on combating gun violence, curbing climate change, and improving health care. And the L.A. Dodgers and Houston Astros moving on in the MLB postseason as the L.A. Dodgers completed a three-game sweep of the Diamondbacks with a 3-1 win in Arizona yesterday, while the Astros advanced by beating the Red Sox 5-4 in Game 4 of their series. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
It is 10:06, time for Hunter Chamber Radio. Weather, Flemington, 74 degrees right now. Clear skies, no rain in the forecast. We got plenty of that last night. Today is Tuesday, October 10th, 2017. A mix of clouds and sun and a high of 81. Winds light and variable. Mainly clear tonight with a low of 56. Partly cloudy early tomorrow. Increasing clouds with showers developing later in the day and a high of 74. Chance of rain, 40%. Cloudy, slight chance of a rain shower in 64 on Thursday. Mix of clouds and sun in the morning on Friday with a high of 66. Partly cloudy and a slight chance of a rain shower, 76 on the 14th. And on Sunday, you won't believe it, 80 with sunshine and clouds. Temperatures in our area? 74 in Raritan, 74 in Kingwood. 67 in Stockton, 76 in Hampton, 72 in Lebanon, 73 in Tewksbury, 71 in Asbury, and 73 in Phillipsburg. Stay tuned for Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Thank you.
day and welcome to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I am the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time to improve his or her business. We do that by accomplishing your wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so that consumers seeking solutions for personal or business use can be better informed while making purchasing decisions or hiring individuals to carry out technological decisions. Each week, I'll focus on topics about technology. Segments could include technology news, the latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, message me through Tech Today on Facebook. My email is goodmorning@huntingchamberradio.com. The phone number here in the studio, 908-237-0410. To contact me outside of the show, contact me through bluepantherbiz.com. Welcome to another edition of Tech Today. We have plenty of things to talk about. Always looking at how technology is influencing our way of life and where we're going with all this. I was reading last night how the leader, the technological leader of a business has now morphed. It used to be that a CIO was an add-on. The business would run, and then they added technology and a CIO or a director of information technology or a vice president to help by enhancing the operations of the organization by bringing in technology and kept it off to the side. The business ran with its CEO and its chief operating officer and its CFO, and then the CIO kind of ran off to the side and kind of helped enhance those functions. As it's turning out now, the CIO is becoming part of the business. In fact, many CIOs are assuming the role of COO, meaning that they are, the business is so dependent on technology that the CIO is the only person who can marry the operations of a business with the technology of the business, and they have to be synonymous. So it's a big change in perspective as to how business is moving, especially with technology nowadays. And so that's one of the reasons that I do this show, is to try and help people and businesses, small and large, to understand the next steps. Where is technology taking us? And what is happening to try and achieve our goals and our visions of the future? No doubt we've had news that has talked about hurricanes and flooding. And CNN Tech has an article here that says this company wants to stop floods before they actually happen. It's written by Katie Scott, published on October 6th, and it says, Harvey, Irma, and Maria, the Atlantic has produced a series of hurricanes this year that brought devastation and flooding. One startup thinks it has a solution that will reduce damage caused by monster storms. U.S.-based Opti has developed technology that helps cities predict flooding and better control where rain water is diverted and stored. Opti has already attracted over $11 million in funding from impact investors who want to prevent destruction and help the environment while achieving a financial return. We felt like it had the potential to make a really tremendous positive impact on the resilience and the pollution associated with storms, said Jeff Pozick, who's the managing director of Mission Point Partners. Pozick, whose firm is Opti's largest investor, said the tech firm also represents an attractive investment. How does it work? Well, one way that cities protect against flooding is by using retention ponds. When a storm hits, rainwater runs into these ponds, which stores the water. But major storms can bring too much water for the ponds to handle, and the resulting overflow often ends up in rivers and streams that burst their banks and cause flooding. Opti helps prevent overflow with software that monitors weather forecasts and predicts how water levels in retention ponds should be adjusted. As a big storm approaches, the Opti system will remotely open a discharge valve and drain ponds to make room for the expected rainfall. When the rain stops, the system will gradually release excess water in a way that doesn't overwhelm nearby rivers. The technology won't eliminate flooding after a major natural disaster, but Opti says it can help limit the damage it has already been installed at over 130 sites across 21 states in the U.S. Hurricane Irma recently provided a real-life test when it swept through Ormond Beach, Florida, where Opti Systems are installing at five interconnected lakes. The system drained the lakes as Irma approached, leaving them able to handle the 8 inches of rain brought by the storm. Opti founder and CEO Marcus Quigley said there was no localized flooding in that area. He predicted that roads would have been inundated with water if the system had not been in place. The benefits could multiply with scale. CFO Chris Holden said that installing Opti systems at hundreds of sites across the city would provide a more complete picture of how each should be regulated. We've been very successful at proactively controlling individual sites, and the plan is to be able to scale that to be able to control whole watersheds, said Holden. So it's very timely, is it not? I mean, I'm sure it's been out there for a while, but somehow it's coming into our cognizance now after we've experienced these unfortunate struggles with flooding. We're at our first break, and I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of Tech Today on WHCR-DB.
I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Thank you. You're listening to Tech Today, and we are on WHCRDB, HuntingChamberRadio.com, the voice of business. We just talked about flooding, which is apparently a very current topic in our area and in the United States. Another topic that's been on for a few years now is driverless cars. I've been talking about driverless cars on Tech Today and HuntingChamber.com for a number of years. But it goes on. What about something else, another driverless type vehicle? Well, that would be Boeing. Boeing is deciding that it's time to bet on flying taxis and planes. John Ostrower on October 5th on CNNMoney.com wrote this article saying that Boeing is betting big on automating its flying machines. The aerospace giant is buying Aurora Flight Sciences, a maker of automated drones and aviation parts, in a bid to bring increased automation to airlines, military drones, and even personal air taxis. The combined strength and innovation of our teams will advance the development of autonomy for our commercial and military systems, said Craig Hystop, Chief Technology Officer and Senior Vice President of Boeing Engineering, Test and Technology, in a statement. Aurora's products, which include long-endurance aircraft, robotic co-pilots, and autonomous electric vehicles takeoff aircraft, will be transitioned into world-class products for the global infrastructure, said John Langford, Aurora's founder and chief executive officer. The term of the deal was not disclosed, but the acquisition is the clearest signal yet that the planet's largest plane maker sees automation as the future of aviation. Quote, it's hard to predict where the future is going, said Hyslop in a call with reporters Thursday, but I think we know where the vector is pointed, and we want to be ready as the technology matures and take full advantage of that in our products, unquote. The move significantly accelerates Boeing's foray into autonomous technology. Until now, the company had focused on few drone projects and autonomous submarine, but not commercial aviation technology. Boeing in June said it would explore automation for commercial aircraft. The plans came in response to concerns that the industry would experience a shortage of pilots in the near future that would hamper the growth of world air travel. Boeing estimates that industry will need 637,000 pilots over the next 20 years. We're looking at what with the advances in sensing technology, artificial intelligence, and other areas around autonomous flight, what that can do to make an already safe plane even safer, said Hyslop. Acquiring the technology may be the easy part. Convincing the public that autonomous aircraft are safe looks to be more difficult. Only 17% of flyers say they would fly on a pilotless aircraft, according to a recent UBS study. The acquisition also gives Boeing a seat at the table in the race to develop electric air taxis. Aurora is, in April, made the first flight of its own air taxi prototype, the XV-24A, designed as part of Uber's Elevate program to add an in-depth air taxis to its ride-sharing product. There have been a spate of concepts and demonstrations of electric flying air taxis, but few have earned the backing of the biggest aerospace companies who have the expertise and deep pockets to prove to regulators that technology works and is safe for the public. But the large acquisition differs from its chief rival, Europe's Airbus, which has slowly cultivated new small aircraft technology through its Silicon Valley unit A3. The company is developing its own single-seat personal flying vehicle dubbed Project Vahana that is expected to fly later this year. The decision to acquire Aurora comes just a week after Boeing set up a formal office to develop plans for its next-generation passenger airliner. Often dubbed the 797, such a jet would be the first all-new airplane to take advantage of the company's ongoing research into sensors and automated systems. Boeing said there is no firm plans for the twin aisle jet yet, but the office would also serve as a vehicle to evolve how we design and build airplanes, the company said in a statement last week. Hyslop wouldn't say if Aurora's technology would appear on a 797. He said Boeing is going to look for those areas where Aurora can immediately provide an impact to our current programs. I think the combined power and imagination of those two teams is really going to lead to some exciting changes that will affect not only our commercial products, but affect our defense products as well. It's the next logical evolution, is it not? We've heard about it. We've envisioned it. It's been in our psyche for decades, and, you know, the Jetsons and all that. The one thing that's surprising, well, not really surprising, I guess, is that only 17% said that they would fly on a pilotless airplane. That's a natural reaction at this point, because you know, as well as I do, that Boeing is not going to develop a pilotless airplane, throw it up on the sky, and make people get on it the next week. It's going to evolve. It's going to have to prove itself. And just as we're doing the same thing with the driverless cars, we don't sit in the back or take a nap while the car is driving. We force the driver to be in the front seat with his hand or her hand on the wheel, just in case the car needs some extra help. Same thing's going to happen with a driverless plane, a pilotless plane. Yeah, and we already have autopilot, by the way, so it's been pilotless for decades. So now we're just doing it more and better, and having more technology involved. So do not give a lot of credence to the 17% of flyers said they would fly on a pilotless aircraft. They already do. They just don't realize it. So that's a moot point at this point. But it's interesting that Boeing has pretty much dissolved itself of the Lockheed Martin issue, with Lockheed getting a fine for its work in kind of overcoming the capitalist tax system here. And now Boeing is starting to actually be advanced and grab these types of prototypes and this type of technology. It'll be interesting to see how this evolves, and I'm sure it's going to evolve pretty quickly, because driverless cars and that technology is speeding up the evolution of understanding all this, and it's just a matter of time before we put all this together. So stay tuned. Driverless cars, driverless taxis, incredible stuff. Well, we have other technology, the merging of health and tattoos. A lot of people look at tattoos as not exactly the healthiest thing to do. Well, how about this? Your next tattoo could let you know you're sick. So the built into the tattoo will have the ability to understand your skin and your DNA, and let you know certain things that you have a problem with, whether it be sugar or some type of illness or disease. And so the tattoos will be able to use your skin and the organ, skin is an organ, and detect certain things. So it's kind of color-coded to help you understand how to do that. There's a video here on all of that by Maya Dangerfield on CNN Tech. And it tells you all about it, published on, well, let's see, it went away. So let's grab it real quick. It seems like it was fairly recent. CNN Tech and Harvard Medical and MIT researchers teamed up to create a color-changing tattoo ink which tracks changes inside your body. How about that? There isn't a date on this, unfortunately, so I can't give you that. But basically, this video is showing you some of the color. And as I said, it was it tracked your glucose. It can track other illnesses within your body, and it changes according to your biochemistry. So as your skin lets you know what's going on, the tattoo reflects some of that. All right. We're at a halfway point, so we're going to take a quick break, do the news, and we'll be right back with more of Tech Today on HunchinBaruch.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Tens of thousands out of their homes in California, where more than a dozen wildfires are raging.
I couldn't stay because I couldn't breathe.
That man among those evacuated from Santa Rosa. With more on the wildfires, here's correspondent Sharon Reed.
The deadliest and most damaging fires are now burning in the wine country of Napa and Sonoma counties, north of San Francisco.
I've lived here for 26 years, raised my kids here. All our pictures are gone. Everything.
More than 73,000 acres have burned in Northern California. 1,500 homes and commercial structures are damaged. At least 11 people have been killed, and more than 20,000 have been forced to evacuate.
Meanwhile, the Canyon Fire near Anaheim has burned 24 structures, and hundreds are evacuated there. This is USA Radio News.
In this tight labor market, finding new employees can be tough. Whether you're the business owner or an HR professional, you want access to highly qualified candidates fast. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, no matter the industry, with Indeed you get immediate access to a high-quality pool of talent with no long-term contracts or upfront fees. For a limited time, Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to make their first job listing a sponsored job with premium visibility so more candidates will see it. You want to make a great hire fast, and this exclusive offer gives you a head start. Independent research shows 6 times more hires are delivered through Indeed than any other job site, making Indeed your one-stop source for hiring. To redeem this offer, go to Indeed.com/offer. That's Indeed.com/offer. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
South Korean officials say North Korean hackers have stolen a trove of classified military documents, including wartime contingency plans drawn up by the U.S. and South Korea, as well as a plan to assassinate North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un. The North is denying that it carried out that cyber attack. EPA Chief Scott Pruitt is making moves on Obama-era rules concerning power plant emissions.
I'll be signing a proposed rule to withdraw the so-called clean power plan of the past administration and thus begin the effort to withdraw that rule.
Speaking in Kentucky yesterday, Pruitt says those Obama rules did aim to restrict greenhouse gas emissions from power plants. The policy was a key part of the Obama administration's efforts to curb what it called climate change. Pruitt says his agency should not, quote, declare war on any sector of our economy, and that includes the coal industry. This is USA Radio News.
From Struck Films.
Where did you come from?
The true story of a stray dog.
Who are you?
That's Pluto.
Who saves a struggling family in more ways than one.
What's wrong?
This isn't working anymore.
Sometimes help comes from the most unlikely places.
I don't need you.
He's trying. He really is.
Sometimes one dog can change everything.
You're awfully small on every boy.
From the director of The Other Side of Heaven, The Stray. Rated PG. For theater locations and more information, visit thestray.movie. In theaters now.
A college student accused of shooting and killing a Texas Tech police officer is in custody. The shooting happened yesterday when police at that university in Lubbock brought the student into the station for questioning following a wellness check. A judge giving a rapist parental rights to the child conceived from his crime. USA Radio's Jason Wirt has that story.
A Michigan judge has given joint legal custody of an 8-year-old boy to a convicted sex offender who allegedly raped the child's mother 9 years ago. Judge Gregory Ross told the rape victim she had to return to the state from Florida where she's now living, and he gave the victim's current address to her alleged rapist. The case began when the victim tried to get food stamps and health insurance for the child. The victim's attorney said the state of Michigan routinely seeks paternity in cases where women ask for state assistance. The judge has not commented to the media about his decision to give the rapist custody.
Former White House strategist Steve Bannon says Senator Bob Corker should resign from the Senate after his war of words with President Trump. Speaking with Fox News' Sean Hannity last night, Bannon said if Corker had any honor or decency, he would step down immediately. The Tennessee Republican trading insults with President Trump on Twitter all weekend long. And a Virginia couple named Jake and Kirsten Barney have won the North American Wonship in Maine, which requires husbands to carry their wives on their backs or shoulders through an obstacle course. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Well, there's no technology for carrying your wife on your back or in your arms or on your shoulders. That just sounds like brute force. Welcome back to Tech Today on HunchingBarrera.com on WHCRDB. More things that have disrupted us is Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico has took a hit from Maria. One quarter of the homes were devastated. Internet and mobile phone technology communications has been disrupted, if not completely obliterated. So there's some people who've got an idea about how to fix this, or at least temporarily. CNN Tech reports that Google and its parent company, Alphabet, have a way to handle that and provide cell service to Puerto Rico. And so they're going to do it, but giant floating balloons could help deliver internet and cell service to storm-ravaged Puerto Rico. The Federal Communications Commission has issued an experimental license to X, the moonshot outfit owned by Google's parent company, Alphabet, to try and provide service to the ailing island. So let me just stop there for just a moment. You know how we have constantly talked about how the government can't get out of its own way? And granted, it's been a couple weeks already, but you gotta give some props to the FCC for at least providing some direction and offering Google an opportunity to try and solve this problem. You just get the sense that years ago, the FCC would have held up their hand and said, whoa, whoa, too fast, we'll take care of it. You got to give some props here where Alphabet and Google and whatever their X came to the FCC and said, we have an idea, and the FCC didn't bless it permanently, but at least gave some leeway. So the project is called Loon. It could help restore some communications capabilities after Hurricane Maria wiped out Puerto Rico's infrastructure. More than 2 weeks after the storm, about 82% of the island is still without cell service, the FCC said Saturday. We need to take innovative approaches to help restore connectivity on the island. Project Loon is one of our approaches, said Chairman Ajit Pai, said in a statement. It would help provide the people of Puerto Rico with access to cellular service to connect with loved ones and access life-saving information. The project, however, is not without its challenges. Loon works like floating cell towers. Giant balloons are sent about 12 miles up into the Earth's atmosphere. From there, they must work with an on-the-ground telecommunications system. For that to happen, X needs to partner with a telecom company that can provide that connectivity. The system has been proven to work. Earlier this year, X said balloons over Peru were able to provide key coverage as the country was plagued by floods. But the reason Loon was up and running so quickly in Peru was because X had already been working alongside Telefonica, and their systems were already integrated and tests were conducted in the months before Loon ramped up in internet coverage to help flooded areas. In Puerto Rico, however, X is essentially had to start at square one. Spokesperson Libby Leahy said X is making solid progress on this next step, but the company declined to indicate a potential time frame for when the project would come online. So it's got its logistical challenges, but the government is not getting in the way. That's good news, really. And it sounds like Google and Alphabet and X are working very hard to achieve that aim as quickly as they possibly can. It's good props for them. They get some good feedback. Some positive feedback and good press for doing it. So, great stuff. We're going to lose some stuff. I don't think too many people are upset, though. But The Verge reports that the Windows Phone was a glorious failure. Looking back on the bumpy road taken by Microsoft's most ambitious mobile OS. Vlad Saver of Verge wrote on October 10th that this past weekend Microsoft made official what was already known for years. The Windows Phone mobile operating system is dead. There will be no further development, no miraculous Windows 10 mobile revivals, and no further attempts to compete with the overwhelming duopoly of Apple's iOS and Google's Android. The new Microsoft, led by Satya Nadella, prefers collaboration over competition. Or at least that's the choice the company tells itself it has made in abandoning its thwarted mobile OS venture. But the overall failure of the Windows Phone masks a series of smaller successes and advances, which Microsoft and its hardware partners have never received enough credit for. At its outset in 2010, Windows Phone was the boldest and most original reimagining of what a smartphone can be after Apple's iPhone introduced 3 years prior. Unlike Android, Windows Phone was not a recreation of the iOS icon grid. Also, unlike Android, Windows Phone was fast and fluid on very basic hardware. Given how few opportunities we're likely to have to talk about Windows Phone in the future, this article kind of goes over the highlights. So it was a radically different phone OS. Almost exactly 7 years ago, on October 11th, the noted tech giant Stephen Fry stood in front of a captive audience in London and declared himself thrilled to be endorsing the new Windows Phone OS. A longtime iPhone enthusiast, Fry was just giddy with the little moments of delight and the refreshing new Windows Phone provided him. Moving on from there, in November of 2011, there was an industrial design revolution. The contributions of the Windows Phone ecosystem to the wider field of smartphones designs have never been properly recognized. The platform launched with some gorgeous and truly unique phones like the Samsung Omnia 7 with a 4-inch OLED display, the Dell Venue Pro with a slide-out keyboard, the HTC 7 Surround with a big integrated speaker and kickstand. But it was the following year when HTC introduced the Windows Phone 8X and 8S, and Nokia launched the Lumia 800 that we really saw Windows Phone push out in front of the industrial design stakes. In July of 2013, phone cameras take a step forward. Windows Phone disturbed our preconceptions about good user interface when it launched. The OS, when gave us some of the nicest phone hardware we've seen, and before it started to fade, it managed to move the needle on camera technology, courtesy of Lumia 1020 and its iconic round camera bump. The Lumia 1020 was a more mainstream version of the hardcore Nokia 808 PureView running Symbian. Both phones had four 41-megapixel camera sensors, and both marked significant advances in mobile imaging. The 808 is still such a good camera that I can dig it out of a drawer and use it as a reliable point and shoot that would be shamed by no modern smartphone. The subsequent Lumia 1020 splits the difference by not being quite as good as the imaging stuff, but having a vastly superior and more modern operating system. In August of 2013, the YouTube blockade. If you're wondering why none of Microsoft's many strenuous Windows Phone efforts ultimately paid off, the key answer lies in the platform's chronic failure to attract third-party app designers. Every time Nokia launched a new Windows Phone, it had to dodge and duck the question, when there'll be an Instagram app for the OS, even as Microsoft was beating Google at providing a smoother and slicker first-party app experience. Google was winning handily in having the more essential apps and more enthusiastic third-party ecosystem. 2014, it took over Nokia, and both Microsoft and the wider mobile industry have alienated HTC and Samsung early on by seeming to favor Nokia. Microsoft bit the bullet and just acquired them. And unfortunately, that's probably going to be the end of Nokia as we know it. It was already the end when Microsoft took them over. Now, if they're not going to be evolving anymore, at least on a Windows OS, I don't know. August 2015, well, smartphone market was confirmed to be a total iPhone-Android duopoly, with Gartner reporting 96.8% of all phones sold having one of those operating systems. Microsoft only claimed 2.5% of the market then, and it's only been going down. No apps. No apps means no operating system, means no phone. Pretty simple. We're at 10:45. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more of Tech Today on HuntingShiba.com.
RabCorp. Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on Hunterdon Chamber Radio for Chamber in Action with Chamber President Chris Phelan and Good Morning host Big C, where we'll keep you informed on all the issues, all the initiatives of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and our business community here in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You're listening to Tech Today, and we're on HuntChamber.com. That article on the Microsoft Windows Phone is very appropriate because it's a foretelling of what might happen to Amazon and Amazon's Echo Show. As we get to more of these talking speakers, Engadget reports that the Echo Show currently costs $200. It's down from its original asking price of $230, Amazon is hoping the temporary sale price will convince you to overlook the fact that the device is no longer supporting YouTube. Now remember, I told you that Microsoft Windows phones died out because it didn't have apps. Well, now you're starting to hear the same thing, only in one specific instance, though, where this particular smart speaker is not getting an app for YouTube. Google removed its popular video service from Amazon's touchscreen smart speaker late last month, and it has never returned. At the time, the search giant claimed the Echo Show violated its terms of service by creating a broken user experience. But just days later, news broke that Google may be mulling a similar product of its own to add to its expanding home lineup. Meanwhile, Amazon's device reportedly began plummeting down its sales chart as a result. A quick glance at its reviews show that plenty of customers are peeved that they can no longer stream YouTube videos on the Echo Show. So, is this the case of a damage control? Maybe. It could also be down to the Echo products on the horizon. After all, the alarm clock like Echo Spot also sports a smaller screen and will cost you just $130 when it arrives in December. Then there's the beefed-up Echo Plus and the next-gen Echo, but that doesn't mean the Echo Show has nothing left to offer. Yes, it lacks YouTube, but you can still watch Amazon Prime videos on its 7-inch display. It also boasts impressive speakers, video call functionality, and integration with smart home cameras. Still, Amazon's spat with Google does little for its artificial intelligence ecosystem. You see, CEO Jeff Bezos wants to play nice with his rivals in order to grab more Alexa skills. He's already found success courtesy of his firm's partnership with Microsoft, which will share its Cortana digital assistant with the Amazon and vice versa. But the likes of Google and Apple evidently aren't in the mood to play ball, especially since they seem to be chasing the same goal, to have their respective software serve as the control deck for their smart home. So, yeah, you could see how these companies now have acquired apps and app functionality. And now when we're starting to build a device that shows that stuff because those particular apps are integrated with the device, I don't have to necessarily let those other apps play. The only way that's going to work is if there's some quid pro quo, and there's not much of that happening. Apple and Android are almost completely separate. They're almost there's no integration or overlap whatsoever. So you either are getting into the iOS ecosystem or you're getting into the Android ecosystem. And having Amazon be part of it is a little quirky because Amazon has it's only going to show its own stuff. So if Android wants to show Amazon Prime stuff, Amazon movies, then you might have some give and take. Amazon Prime would let the Echoes use, or the Google Home use its Amazon stuff. And vice versa. Amazon, Google would let the Echo use its YouTube. That's the only way this is going to work. After that, it's just going to be competition. We'll finish up the day with some thoughts about medicine. Back in the day when we started to talk about electronic medical records, the thought was simply that it was an easy way to transport records and not have to carry clunky x-rays and or CDs. Well, now we're finally, it's been decades, but now we're finally starting to see the possibility of innovation and creativity. On the Maryland Business Review, James Bender and Robert S. Mecklenburg report on the 10th that Americans are both under-treated and over-treated in health care systems that wastes up to $1 trillion a year and delivers profoundly uneven quality. Current estimates indicate that preventable medical errors are the third leading cause of death in the United States. 58% of patients referred to Virginia Mason, our medical center in Seattle, our back surgery would be more appropriately treated without an operation. Tens of millions of Americans, most with health care insurance, have never had appropriate screening for colon cancer. Electronic medical records can help correct those systematic defects. Every day, online retailers use computer-based transactions to guide us through stepwise sequences to buy a pair of jeans, apply for a credit card, or book a flight. As we follow these electronic pathways, we can't really go wrong. If we omit critical inputs or make an inappropriate choice, the program does not allow us to proceed until we get it just right. In the language of system engineering, the transaction is mistake-proofed. And in the rare circumstance of a unique or very complex transaction, we can pick up the phone to work through the issue with a content expert. This same mistake-proofing process and technology embedded in the electronic medical record can move us a great distance forward, safer, higher quality, and more affordable health care. Information technology has come late to health care delivery, but in 2009, federal regulations applied financial incentives and penalties to drive broad implementation of EMR. While introducing this technology has been costly and disruptive to traditional medical practices, there is no question that patients and purchasers can receive benefits in terms of improving safety, ensuring necessary care, and avoiding unnecessary care. EMRs improve patient safety by requiring computer-based physician orders that eliminate illegitimate handwriting and misinterpreted verbal orders. Checkbox options that offer providers only correct doses of medication prevent overdoses. When Virginia Mason Medical Center implemented computerized order entry, confusing or incorrect physician orders fell from 50% to near zero overnight. And at the bedside, nurses now compare a barcode on the patient's wristband with the label affixed on the medication to ensure the right patient receives the right medication. These safety features delivered through the EMR are now in common practice. And that's the way it's supposed to be, folks. There's plenty more about it, but we're just on the brink. It's so funny that it's taken this long to... But that's the reason practices have been pushed to start embracing electronic medical records. Well, it's time for me to finish up here. It's been my pleasure to be with you, as I am every Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Do not fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. That is the mission of Tech Today, and hopefully we've imparted that mission onto you. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a great week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Tiny Pieces, the confidence that your network backup is backed up. The confidence of being protected from viruses, worms, and Trojan horses. Secure your data and protect your business with help from Staples. And now at Staples, get a free security check for your PC. Staples, it's pro time. Visit a store or go to staples.com/security. Ends 1028 in-store only. See associate for details.
From Struck Films.
Where did you come from?
The true story of a stray dog.
Who are you?
That's Pluto.
Who saves a struggling family in more ways than one.
What's wrong?
It isn't working anymore.
Sometimes help comes from the most unlikely places.
I don't need you.
He's trying. He really is.
Sometimes one dog can change everything.
You're awfully small, aren't you, boy?
From the director of The Other Side of Heaven, The Stray, rated PG. For theater locations and more information, visit thestray.movie. In theaters now.
EPA Chief Scott Pruitt is making moves on Obama-era rules concerning power plant emissions.
I'll be signing a proposed rule to withdraw the so-called clean power plan of the past administration and thus begin the effort to withdraw that rule.
Speaking in Kentucky yesterday, Pruitt says those Obama rules did aim to restrict greenhouse gas emissions from power plants. The policy was a key part of the Obama administration's efforts to curb what it called climate change. Pruitt says his agency should not, quote, declare war on any sector of our economy, and that includes the coal industry. America's defense secretary says dealing with the growing North Korean nuclear crisis continues to be diplomatically led. Pentagon Chief Jim Mattis speaking yesterday and saying the U.S. also must always be ready with a military option, though. Mattis says North Korea continues to engage in provocative and dangerous behavior. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge, and I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. After 15 years on Wall Street, I founded the VRA in 2003, my daily investment newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. I tell you what to buy and when to sell and take profits, and I only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free two-week membership. Simply go to VRAinsider.com. You also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. Join us now at VRAinsider.com.
A woman jailed for locking her baby in a hot car. We get that story from USA Radio's Jason Wirt.
A Central Florida woman in custody after authorities say she left her young daughter in a hot, stuffy car while she visited an inmate. The Orange County Sheriff's Office says Rachel Etienne left her 2-year-old locked inside the car when temperatures reached 110 degrees. A staff member patrolling the parking lot saw the child and freed her. Deputies say the little girl was sweating but otherwise uninjured. A neighbor tells Fox 35 Orlando Etienne had been warned previously by neighbors about leaving the child in a hot car.
ESPN is issuing a statement about the 2-week suspension handed to host Jemele Hill for making political statements on social media. The network saying in a statement that they have reminded all employees of how individual tweets may reflect negatively on ESPN and that such actions would have consequences, hence their decision with Hill. The move comes after she called for a boycott of advertisers aligned with the Dallas Cowboys after the team's owner, Jerry Jones, said players would be benched for not standing for the national anthem. She was under fire already last month when she called President